Turn your Bibles, please, to John 18. John 18. The invitation tonight is for us to examine how we perceive who Jesus is and if he really has a meaningful impact on our day-to-day lives. In John chapter 18, starting in verse 33, Pilate begins to question Jesus about who he is and wants to know more about him. And even though we know how the context goes, and Pilate ultimately assumes, and rightly so, that Jesus is innocent, he did make some mistakes about assuming who he was. Read there with me, it says in John chapter 18, verse 33. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you then a king?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is the truth is of the truth, hears my voice." So you can imagine Pilate maybe having a little bit of a puffed chest as he's talking with Jesus here. This guy is, after all, the governor of Judea. So he has got a lot of power in this particular area. So for him to be asking Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, are you a king?" was not only maybe a little bit threatening to him, but he was also trying to analyze who it is that he was talking to. If you've ever been in a place of authority and you're having to have a conversation with somebody else who is also an authority, you know that it's kind of like we're trying to fill each other out. But in this moment, he is not giving Jesus the total credit that he deserves. As he begins to question him some more, you'll have to turn to John chapter 19, just a little bit later on. After he sends Jesus, he says, "This is just a man, look at him." He sends him to be scourged. It says in John chapter 19, begin reading there in verse 6, the people start crying out for Jesus to be crucified. So again, Pilate has to dig a little bit deeper, and he asks him in verse 9, John 18, verse 9. He went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate says in verse 10, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and the power to release you?" Can you imagine just a little bit of the hubris that Pilate has to have to tell the creator of the world that he has power in this moment? There's a funny story that is told of an American actress in the golden age of American cinema. Her name is Billie Burke. Maybe you've heard of her. She was making a trip to Europe across the Atlantic Sea, and she was on a boat for a long period of time. And she just happened to be sitting next to somebody who had a really bad cold. This is a true story. And so after a little bit, she talks with the gentleman. She's like, "I can tell you're in a little bit of discomfort. What's going on?" And he just begins to tell her, "You know, I've just got the common cold," whatever it may be. She goes on to tell him, "Hey, my grandma gave me a pretty good remedy to what all this is and what you could do for yourself." And she ends it by saying, "You can believe what I'm saying because I'm Billie Burke, American actress, so-and-so." And so the gentleman takes it very kindly. He's very cordial with her. He just smiles and says, "Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it. By the way, I haven't introduced myself. I'm Dr. William Mayo of the Mayo Clinic." I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like that where you're completely humbled by something you just said. Put your foot in your mouth, as they say. But that's what Pilate is doing right now. He's trying to tell the creator of the world, who could send 10,000 angels, that he has power in this moment. You're probably not in the same headspace as Pilate where you're thinking that you have power, maybe. But you can look out into our society, and there's a lot of people who think that they could counsel God on something that they think they know better. And maybe that influence has gotten to our lives. Maybe it's gender roles. Maybe it's how a marriage should be. Maybe it's about just general morality. There's a lot of people, and sometimes ourselves, who think we could counsel God because we know better. And that's where we're just having the same attitude as Pilate had. In John chapter 4, a little bit earlier on, Jesus is having a conversation with the woman at the well. She isn't as proud or as arrogant, but she doesn't give Jesus the credit simply because she doesn't know. So it says in John chapter 4, begin reading there in verse 7, A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink for me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." So she is just going off the basic culture norms of the day. We're not supposed to be talking to each other. I'm a woman, I'm a Samaritan, you're a man, you're a Jew, all of those things. And she doesn't really think about who she's talking to because she doesn't know. So maybe somebody here tonight would have the excuse of just general naivete, right? I just don't know what's going on. I don't have the wisdom of God. I don't have the knowledge yet. But Jesus answers and says this to her. Look what he says in verse 10. He's not rebuking her, but he is enlightening her. Look what it says in verse 10. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water." He basically just tells her, you don't really know who you're talking to, and if you did, you would have asked something a lot more important. So maybe you're here tonight, and you've never heard the gospel before. You've never understood who Jesus was. You don't understand the role of sin in your life, and you don't really understand why he died. The Bible is very clear that every person who sins, which is everyone in this room, is deserving of death. And that Jesus came into this world to bring us everlasting life. And that only through him can we make it to heaven. It's a very clear message about the Bible. But a lot of people in Jesus' time did not like that message. We'll go to one other passage if you go to John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, there was a certain man who was healed from blind eyes. And you could tell that some of the surrounding powers did not like it. Some of the Pharisees weren't too happy about the fact that Jesus was getting notoriety, that he was getting fame. And so they questioned this man about, hey, you've been blind for a really long time. How all of a sudden did you get to see? You regained your sight. And so they're asking him about that and they're questioning him. You have to understand the context. This man is a Jew. It was really important to him to be in good spirits with all the Pharisees, with the synagogue. And so they're questioning him here. Look what it says, dropping down to verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind, and they said to him, Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner, talking about Jesus. We think he's a sinner. He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, I now see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled and said to him, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes?" In all of this, he just tries to make them clear, you guys don't know who you're dealing with. I don't completely know who I'm dealing with. So this is this big hubbub about this man and his family being kicked out of the synagogue. It's a big social pariah. Like, it's a really bad thing for this to have happened, right? And there's talk of the town, this and that. So Jesus goes back and he finds this man, and this is how the story ends. And if anyone here tonight has been going through their life not giving Jesus the credit, because maybe you are like Pilate, maybe you're a little bit like the woman at the well, where you're not giving him everything that he deserves. You're not saying that he's the Son of God in your life, whether you're saying it out loud or you're living it. This person comes to the knowledge that this man is the Son of God. Drop down a little bit further to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast the blind man out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" When people are baptized, this is the question that is asked of them, because we see in Scripture that this is a confession that every believer should make. Continue reading on. Verse 36. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." Then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Anybody here tonight can make the change that maybe this man made. You feel the impact that Jesus could make on your life. All it takes is a simple confession on your part, saying that you believe that he is the Son of God. You begin worshiping him. You're baptized for remission of your sins. If we can help anybody tonight do that, please let us know as we stand and sing a song that's been prepared.